Grace and peace be with you all. It is, I heard some Episcopalian out there, I think. That's good. It is good to be with you today. It is a gift for me to be with you today. Some of it is a gift of family. Some of it is the gift of faith and being able to be with sisters and brothers who are strangers, but sisters and brothers still. And it must never be taken for granted that we are given this gift of gathering. How many are there in the world who cannot gather today, who cannot come to sisters and brothers, strangers though they may be, those who are ill, those who are imprisoned, those who are caught in war, those who are trapped inside them all, their own selves even. So it is indeed a gift and never to be taken for granted that we have received this gift to gather in God's house with God's people on God's day, this Sunday of Christmas. Christmas is for those who look for consolation. It is for those who look for redemption. It is for those, for we, who are restless, ill at ease, mindful of the weight of the past, doubtful that the authorized guarantors of the future will guarantee any future but their own, watchful in the present, and hopeful that there can indeed be consolation, that there can indeed be redemption, even for the past, even for the unknown future, and even in this time now. Looking for consolation and redemption even in our own lives, too. Weighed down by sorrow, by grief for what cannot be undone. Afraid that tomorrow will only be a repeat of yesterday, and the day after that the same, and the day after that the same, and the day after the day. Hoping, nevertheless, to see a true sign, to hear a true promise, to share a true word ourselves. No matter how many rules of grammar have to be broken to say it, no matter how many notes have to be bent to sing it, no matter how much dignity and decorum must be set aside to dance it, hoping against hope, hoping beyond hope, even beyond sense. This astonishing witness we have from Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, who were they? Actually, you have heard everything about them that we know already. We know nothing more than what is in the scripture read for today, that they were old, and both of them in their own ways facing death. Perhaps that is what allowed them to think about a future that was not simply their own. As we grow old, we know that the future is less and less about us. So to hope for the future is inevitably to hope for the future of others. We know that they prayed and tried to do what was right. We know that they suffered within them the long pain of their people and suffered also the hope. To suffer something means also to bear it and be changed by it. So to carry hope and to be changed by it. We know that Holy Spirit had come upon them. Anna as a prophet, because that is what it means to be a prophet. Simeon as someone who saw things and let his feet be guided by what was shown him. Luke stumbles over himself to stress the point 3 times in 3 sentences. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Spirit. Clearly, Luke wants us to notice this. We know that by their own paths they came to the temple. We do not know if anyone took notice of them that day, or any day ever. Who knows? Perhaps prophets like Anna or Simeon are with us here today, unremarked now as they were then, as invisible, seeing but not seen, knowing but unknown. In the temple that day, they saw Jesus. Not the Jesus yet of healings and power and teaching and followers and trouble and police and judges and jail and humiliation and torture. Certainly not the Jesus of stained glass and cathedrals and conquest and mega churches as big as a mall. But they saw Jesus nonetheless. Before anyone could make him into their own image, saw him as Holy Spirit showed them how to see. On that day, on what was presumably another ordinary day in the temple, which means the cacophony of crowds, of pilgrims, other families, animals, on this ordinary day they saw a couple from upcountry come to do their duty for their young child. Not rich enough to afford a lamb for sacrifice, which is the first preference in the law, but not too poor for 2 little birds, which is also what the law provides. As the old Christmas begging carol says it, if you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. They saw a baby, some 5 weeks old, and that's it. Something as unremarkable and otherwise unremarked as you might see glancing around this sanctuary. And they saw everything they had hoped for. Everything they had hoped for. Simeon, the story says, was looking for consolation for God's people. Consolation is what you look for in the face of suffering, death, loss, grief. The logic of consolation is the logic of a scale, of a balance beam. So much loss and grief weighed here, grief from gravis, heavy. And something else on the other side, by its counterforce, lifting that weight, not dissolving it, not making it disappear, it still rests on the scale and weighs as much as it ever did. But something pushing back. That is the logic of consolation. Now, what consolation could there be for any suffering, grieving people? For any suffering, grieving person? There is also, however, an illogic to consolation, something that doesn't make sense, something unbalanced, something without formula or equation, where the counterforce to a weight of 10 tons is not 10 tons or 100 or even 1, but something entirely different, something even that seems nothing at all, something as illogical as when Paul said, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Simeon saw a 5-week-old baby, saw that this baby meant something, meant consolation, healing, meant a different way of seeing and thinking for anybody, anywhere, anywhen. He saw Jesus as the Spirit showed him, and he rhapsodized in words like salvation, light, revelation, glory, and the praise came pouring out of him. Anna, the story says, when the Holy Spirit had loosened her tongue, began to praise God too. She began to speak about the child Jesus. She called out to whoever would listen, to whoever was looking for redemption that day. The logic of redemption is the logic of exchange. Redemption is the word for bringing a slave back from slavery, of ransoming a captive from a captor, of paying off a debt and setting someone free. A redeemer is one who sets you free, even at the risk of the redeemer's own life. Redemption is about freedom. Redemption is a word for freedom. Anna looked at a 5-week-old baby from upcountry Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Someone asks in John's Gospel. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Ferguson? Out of Staten Island? Out of Mattapan? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And she saw something that didn't make any sense. She saw freedom coming. That is the illogic of redemption. That freedom coming didn't look like a new army to replace the old one, a new temple to replace the old one, a new religion to replace the old one, a new government or polity or policy or party. Any and all of which have broken their word and our hearts again and again. Anna saw a 5-week-old baby, saw that this baby meant something, meant freedom. And the praise came pouring out of her, too. Ecstatic is the right word for this. Ecstatic. For what came pouring out of Simeon and Anna that day. Ecstatic, which means standing outside, standing out of. Standing outside well-drawn lines of power and influence and propriety. Outside the stories that are always the same, with the same winners and the same losers. outside the unbreakable logic that breaks hope again and again, not by its truth, but by the power of the past and the powers of the present to silence other voices, the logic of the loudest, the logic of what was and is, but not of what can be. What can be? Beyond the reasoning of whys and wherefores, beyond the supposedly wise and all of their therefores, beyond calibration and numbers, neither balance beam nor balance sheet, ecstatic is the right word. Ecstatic is the right word for such things as Simeon and Anna saw and said. And scandalous. Luke is the evangelist of the scandalous gospel. Just as his Mary, full of Holy Spirit and filling with Jesus still in her womb, proclaimed scandalously and ecstatically God's mercy and justice, pulling down the mighty, lifting up the lowly, scattering the proud, gathering the humble, and filling the room with the hungry, and the table with good things. Redemption is scandalous. Consolation is scandalous. Holy Spirit is scandalous. Gospel news, good news, is scandalous. Christmas is scandalous. Baby Jesus, 5 weeks old, is scandalous. Simeon and Anna saw because Holy Spirit showed them, because Holy Spirit clarified their eyes and their mind. They saw because Holy Spirit opened their imaginations to a consolation and redemption that went beyond weight for weight, gain for loss, reason for reason. A consolation of nevertheless, of defiance. A consolation, a redemption of praise now, before the end. Now, while the grief still presses down. Now, while freedom still seems to so many to be something that will never be at hand. Now, while the power of death still seems very much to rule the world. A consolation and redemption of praise now. Never mind how many rules are broken, how many notes are bent, how much decorum is cast aside. Luke has insisted that we hear this. Even if we do not understand it yet, or understand only a little, that Simeon and Anna spoke because Holy Spirit gave them power to see, to hear, to think, gave them heart, consolation, freedom, to speak even in an ecstasy, if that's what must be, an ecstasy of hope. In these days of Christmas, I am praying for Holy Spirit. I am praying to see what God has already presented at hand. I am praying to hear the word that God is already speaking. I'm praying to glimpse a true sign of consolation, a true sign of freedom, no matter how unremarked and unremarkable it may seem to the eyes of the age. In these days of Christmas, I am praying that even if I or you or we cannot yet see together as they saw, Holy Spirit will surprise me, that Holy Spirit will awaken in me yet and call me out of my own self or into my right mind. to see as Simeon and Anna saw, to speak, to hope as Simeon and Anna hoped, to imagine as they imagined, ecstatically, scandalously, defiantly, joyfully, foolishly, that God is in this thing with us. That God is in this thing with us and has been and will be gracious and merciful, tender, kind, just. So could this imagination be possible for us too, together? Even if we cannot yet see with the holy imagination given to Simeon and Anna, could we imagine imagining? Could we imagine imagining? Imagine opening ourselves to a consolation and redemption that the eyes of the age cannot see. Imagine praying day after day in all the ordinary places, but extraordinarily, hoping, believing that in God's consolation and redemption, a five-week-old baby means as much as everything wise and mighty in the world that was and is to come. Could we imagine for ourselves a discipline and discipleship of ecstasy that does not believe in no and never and no how and no way? A discipline and discipleship of ecstasy, the ecstatic scandal of God's yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. In these days of Christmas, I am praying for Holy Spirit. I am praying to see Jesus. I say this to you in Jesus' name.